All right, good evening. Welcome, everybody, to Sanity in an Insane World. I hope you're doing well. Over here in the Northeast, the weather's getting nicer. It looks like spring is finally in the air. People are starting to come out, and people are in a good mood. Tonight's topic is cultural degeneration. What I mean by that is the culture in our society, I'm specifically referring to North American society, but you can apply the same thing to Europe. Is it degenerating in terms of the values that people espouse? Things like family values, common courtesy, a sense of civic responsibility. And has it degenerated into just a selfish, narcissistic society where the only thing anyone cares about is themselves? Lots of people seem to feel that way. Other people say, no, it's just it's no different than it was before. It's just manifesting itself in different ways. I personally think that social media has made everyone think that they're a celebrity, and everyone thinks that what they have to say is very important and that everyone cares about it, even though they probably don't care about what other people have to say. However, I had a conversation with an old high school friend of mine a long time ago, and he always used to tell me that whenever he used to go play golf with people, everyone wanted to talk about their golf game but not listen to anyone else's stories. So are things getting worse? Is the culture degenerating? Or is it just the same as before? And with the news media, 24-hour news media cycle and the internet, is there just so much more information thrown at us that we just see it more? There's a lot of other factors that come into play. For example, the low fertility rate is one example. Once upon a time, people had families, and it didn't matter what their situations were, but the family was the important thing. Today, in many cases, people are having less kids for a whole variety of reasons, be it financial, be it lifestyle choices, be it sexual orientation, be it career. There's all kinds of different reasons people aren't having kids, but the bottom line is the fertility rate is much, much lower than it used to be. So are we living in a society where the culture is degenerating or not? I said also one of the other things that people are disengaged in is the civic responsibility. I went to see American Sniper a couple weeks ago, and as I'm watching the movie, I'm thinking to myself that this war is actually going on, or was going on, for the last 10 years or so. I mean, Afghanistan started in 2003, and Iraq started in, I think, 2005. I don't remember the exact date, but roughly 10 years for the war, both wars together. And it amazed me, and I said to the person I went to the movie with, that people are completely disengaged from this movie like it's a video game or a television show. From the war, I mean, not the movie, excuse me. And, you know, I really believe that during the Second World War, for example, that the average person really cared and was, you know, au courant with what was happening during the war. But today, I don't think anyone even followed it or cared. And I think it's just another example of a society that's completely, let's just say, the values and the way of life that got us to this point in our society's evolution are slowly disappearing. And it's not, as I said before, it's not just civic responsibility. It's, you know, even the family structure is falling apart. Or maybe a better way of putting it is it's changing. So we'll take a call, and let's see what the caller has to say. Hello, are you there?
Yes, hi, I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. What's your name?
My name is Mike, and I'm actually calling you from Montreal in Quebec.
How are you, Mike? How are you? How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great, actually. I'm very interested in the subject that you're discussing. I'm actually calling in with respect to two points that you covered.
Sure. I mean, there are many things that we could discuss on the subject. I just talked about a few, and I'm going to throw it out to you and whoever wants to call in to talk about anything else.
Yeah, of course. Look, I mean, the issue of today's fertility rate being as low as it is obviously something that's problematic, is particularly in Western countries, Europe, North America.
I've read a lot of studies and that show that the fertility rates around the world are generally declining. It's just that in third world countries, the rates had a higher delta starting point. So, for example, if in like Afghanistan, people used to have 9 kids per woman, now it's down to 5. So it's still higher than the West, but it's getting smaller.
Right.
As an example.
Okay, I do know that.
Go ahead.
So in my experience, what I think is definitely a contributing factor are the higher costs of living that we face today across the board, especially for young people that are finishing up and just coming out of school. Not only are the cost of living, say, if you're graduating from school and working in New York City, a lot higher, but the demands that the work environment now makes on its employees go far beyond what they used to be. And oftentimes work follows you home, whether it be on your cell phone, your computer, emails, texting, phone calls even. The workplace has gone far beyond the actual space in which you work. It even goes into the weekend. So sometimes those demands make it a little bit more difficult for young professionals today to have kids as frequently or as often as people have in the past. I don't know if that's necessarily the case across the board in terms of income levels, but I would definitely say those that are young professionals that are making a decent amount not only have to, like I said, deal with higher costs of living, but more demands in the workplace. I don't know what you would have to say about that, but from my perspective, that's something that definitely is a contributing factor.
Okay, so we'll deal with this subject first. I can tell you that I agree with you 100%. I think that, it's interesting. I remember watching a TV show a long time ago, and they were talking about how with the advent of computers, it was going to make all our lives easier because the computers were going to do so much for us. And in certain respects, that's true. I just recently got an iPhone 6, and it spell checks for me. It dictates for me. It does all kinds of features that I don't think anyone could have dreamed of 20 years ago. So on the one hand, it makes your life easier, but on the other hand, let's be honest, how many people are slaves to their smartphones or iPads?
Right. You know what it seems to me? Like, the more advanced the technology gets, the more demands there are on people. And
listen,
that goes, like you said, for an iPhone or for a smartphone or for a tablet, whatever it be, the more complex that these devices get, the more you're expected to be capable of doing and capable of communicating via. And it's whether it's social media or emails or texting, there's so many different mediums that you can use to communicate now that you're meant to be using them all at the same time. It's unbelievable. And in the past, I don't think it was the case. I think you were maybe responsible for a phone, but definitely not a cell phone.
I think you're correct, and I don't know if you remember this. At one point in time, people referred to BlackBerries as crackberries because they were so addictive. And,
yeah, exactly.
And that was before the iPhone
was even around. And now it's odd to see somebody without an iPhone, but it's unbelievable now when you go out to even a restaurant, how you can see the glow on people's faces or in a bar because people are so glued to their devices. It's not only work-related issues, it's even social lives. People don't even communicate face-to-face that often anymore. In fact, they can FaceTime now, and that's considered
I want to ask you a question. How many people do you think today could go, say, a day or a weekend without touching their smartphone?
None. You want to hear an interesting study that I actually saw recently? People are more likely to return to their house after leaving to go to work in the morning if they forgot their phone than their wallet. They're more attached now to the device that everybody carries with them than their means to pay for things that they might have to throughout the day.
You're correct, what do you need in your wallet? You need money, credit cards, and a driver's license. I mean, and it, depending on where you are, if you're not driving, you don't need the driver's license. But
is a problem because often people are driving, and the fact that they're more concerned about where their phone is while driving without a driver's license is pretty concerning to me.
Listen, I think it was Albert Einstein said that one day technology is going to get so advanced it's going to turn our society into a bunch of idiots.
Yeah,
and I'm
exactly. I actually saw something like that
wrong.
Along the lines of exactly that, with a picture of a group of teenagers around a table. Every single one of them is looking at their iPhone. None of them are communicating with each other.
How many times have I gone to a restaurant where the whole family is looking at something, the kids are playing a game or on the other? There's no question about it. But just to get back to your original comment, the working environment. There's no question that the advent of modern technology has made more demands on people, and the competition has made more demands on people. So I do agree with you. It's not just the cost of living which is deterring people. It's also the demands of the working environment. And I'll throw something else at you, which is deterring people, and that's that there's so much easy access nowadays for people to travel and to go out and to do things, that people want to do so many more things that they don't want to make the time and sacrifices that they have to make in order to have a family. So
right.
it's a whole combination of.
And I mean, even take it a step further. Take the degrees that are expected of people today in terms of university or educational background. If you want to get a decent job now, no longer is it what was required, say, in my parents' generation, which was a high school degree, maybe university for the most educated of the bunch. Now, if you want to, say, work at somewhere in the financial world, it requires an MBA, it requires a master's in many cases, and that takes time. I mean, you're looking at finishing school by the
Add
time
money.
You're...
Add money,
exactly. And then that money puts you in debt, which then you have to work to pay off as soon as you graduate, which makes it even harder to have a family. So not only are you older, you're starting behind the eight ball, and you're in debt. So you have to work that off. You can't buy a house. You can't pay for most of the things that would be required in order to have a family, let alone put a roof over, you know, say you, your wife, or your husband, and a child. It's not easy in that regard. So I mean,
how many people?
I don't know how that's ever going to change, because I find that the more people there are, the bigger the list of people applying for jobs, the longer it is. So as long as the pool keeps getting larger, the more requirements are going
to
be made of the candidates. So that's going to become, I don't know, a PhD if you want to work at Morgan Stanley. I can't imagine where it's going to keep going at this rate. And that's one of the reasons I think a lot of people aren't able to.
Can you hear me, Mike?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Look, I agree. Again, you and I seem to be pretty much in agreement on everything. More and more people are getting educated, and as a result, there's more and more competition for all these jobs. And what's happening is, I mean, be it whatever job you're looking for, since there's so much competition, the people that are hiring are in a buyer's market, if you will, so they can pick and choose and pay people and also work them to the bone, if you will. It's a bleak picture, because this is just something that I'm basing on what I've read and heard. It's not based on any specific information. I don't know if there's enough jobs and opportunities out there for the number of people that are getting educated to fill, if you understand what I'm saying.
I don't think there are. And that's why, like you said, the competitive factor is huge. And you just want to...
And there's another problem with education is that, like, let's say you go and get a degree and you want to become a lawyer or an accountant or a computer programmer, whatever it may be. Those are degrees that you have that lead to a specific career, and there are jobs. Whether you get the job or not is one thing, but certainly there's jobs. But then there's people that – then I've read about stories that people spend 4 years, run up debt in courses and programs like humanities and certain social sciences and other degrees, that basically you have a degree in a field that has essentially no job prospects. So you've wasted time and money to go get a job that almost doesn't exist. Or in certain cases, like I think, for example, psychology, what happens there is that you go get a degree, it costs you, if you go to a big U.S. university, $200,000-$300,000, you're in debt, to go get a job that pays you $40,000. So how the hell are you ever going to pay off your debt in the field that you've studied when the numbers just don't make sense? If you understand what I'm saying.
I do. And I think that I think where you're going with this sort of ties into what you were talking about, the degeneration of our culture, is the fact that, like you said, there are people who study one field, and then after completing their studies and maybe working for a little while in that field, say in law, decide that they want to do something else, but have absolutely no idea what it is that they want to do, and have no background in any subject except for law. We've become so narrow-minded and so focused while educating ourselves and the next generation that, I mean, even at the point here in Montreal or in Quebec, we have to go to CEGEP after finishing high school. You already have to sort of narrow your field, whereas in the past, you could have gone for a Bachelor of Arts where you touch on so many different subjects and maybe find one that makes you tick that you would have never had the opportunity to touch on before. Now,
here's something. I don't know if I agree with you entirely on that, because, I mean, you always had to pick. When I went to school, like over 20 years ago, you still had to pick a major and so on and so forth, and sort of decide which path you were heading on. It's true people went into the arts, but that's the one thing that I'm not sure that I agree with you on. But we're not going to agree on everything, anyways. But I mean, let's talk about some other issues with cultural generation, and because we can go on and on about this forever. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The points that you're bringing up are true about why people aren't having kids. But there's other reasons, and some of it is basically just people saying, I don't want the responsibility, and I don't want to be bothered with it. I want to just be able to enjoy my life, and having kids is going to ruin that. And I've personally heard that from people who can well afford to have kids, and they just don't want to be bothered with having to get up in the middle of the night and drive kids to school and do homework and change diapers and all the rest of it.
100%, I agree with you.
And to be even more frank or more crass, how many guys are there out there that just want to get laid? They don't want to have the commitment. They don't have the responsibility. They just want to go out and chase skirts all their lives.
Not only that, I mean, I would even go with the angle of what about women who don't want to have their bodies transformed and have stretch marks, the rest of it for the purpose, you know.
I once met a woman, and I was talking with her, and she had a lot of tattoos and piercings, which I'll get to in a minute. And I was with one of my kids and talking to her, and I said, are you married? She said, yes, you can have kids. She says, oh, no. I said, why not? She goes, they're going to ruin my tattoos if I get pregnant.
There you go.
Okay. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, very good. That's interesting. So that was I've heard of a lot before. I've heard of women not wanting to do it to their bodies and so forth, which, I mean, let's be honest, I'm a guy and you're a guy. I don't envy women for having to go through it, but unfortunately that's the way the biological cookie crumbled, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know,
no, I do.
But that was that was probably the most unique reason I've ever heard someone tell me they didn't want to have kids, is because it was going to ruin their tattoos. At least she has her priorities in order. That I can say. At least she.
Yeah, of course.
She doesn't want to.
It sounds like she really does.
Or did. Yeah. So, but you know, just to a little segue into another subject, which is tattoos and piercings. You know, I read something somewhere that, what was the exact statistic that, like, the number of people in our society that have a tattoo of some sort is somewhere in the ballpark of 20 to 25%, or something like that. I don't know the exact number, and that's just gone through the roof over the last I don't know how many years, because how many tattoo parlors do you see popping up all over the place, and celebrities having tattoos, and just it's become a very, very in fashion thing for people to do. And, you know, people's always had tattoos, but what's really changed is it went from just having one tattoo on your arm or on your ankle or your shoulder blade. I mean, there are many, many people that are covering significant parts of their bodies with tattoos. And, you know, what's your opinion on that?
I think that part of the reason for which there are so many people getting so many tattoos is that the technology to get them removed is making huge progress. I'm not saying it's entirely perfect, but it's not what it was when people would say, well, what's going to happen when you turn 50 and you don't like the fact that you have a tattoo on you? It's
That's
there for life.
Okay.
I do think that people are more comfortable with the idea that by the time, say, somebody today who's 20 and 30 years decides they don't want the tattoo anymore, the technology through laser removal will be perfected and probably 100% effective.
Okay.
I don't think that was the case when they were, we say, you know, 20 years ago, and people were getting tattoos. A lot of military people would get them, and like you said, it would be one, maybe two. And those people, I'm sure, do regret getting those tattoos today because their skin changes and stretches and all the rest of it. But I do think that, say, in 20, 30 years from now, things will be very different. That being said, in, say, a work environment, if you have tattoos coming up through your collar or through your wrists or in a visible spot, I just don't think it's very appropriate. And
Mike, it depends on what work, what your work is, right? If you're like a chef,
true,
I don't
but
think
let's say that you
cares.
Go into it, to me, it's just a cultural choice. And in the same way that if I go to a restaurant and somebody comes out and my waitress or waiter is serving me and is covered in tattoos, and I'm there, let's say, and I have kids, I don't think that I would really like that. I don't think that it would be something that reflects the choices that I would want to see my children make, just like I wouldn't want them seeing the waiter smoking outside. You know, it's just something that I think reflects poorly and doesn't look good, just like I wouldn't want to see it in the workplace.
Okay,
and
listen, I think that in certain work environments, like in a professional office, it's certainly very taboo and not acceptable. I think in other places, like in restaurants and bars and
no, bars are 100%, but even it depends on the kind of bar. You know, there's classier places, and some places are a little less classy. And I guess you can tell where I'm coming
about
from
piercings?
In the word classy.
How do you feel about piercings?
Piercings? Look, I mean, it depends. An earring is nice. When you start having a chain hanging from your nose to your ear, it's not so attractive to me.
Why? Why do you say that?
Well, I don't think I'd be the only one that would say that. I mean, unless you're watching the movie 300 and you're the Persian emperor, I don't really think it's so acceptable.
How about when people pierce their tongues and their lips and their eyebrows?
Yeah, I think ears are enough for me, really.
I see.
I'm okay
so
with
you're very
ones.
Traditional in that respect.
Yes, yeah, I think that's as far as I need to see it go.
Do you have any tattoos?
No, I don't. No,
okay.
No tattoos. I also imagine it's incredibly painful.
You know what,
for
honestly,
the people.
I
mean,
sometimes
getting huge
when I
tattoos
see people
and then it takes, you have to go back for sessions and it's not cheap.
I know, it takes a long time to put them on, but I've asked people about piercings and when I've seen people that have piercings in places that look painful, I ask them if it's painful and they say, no, it's not. I mean, believe it or not. So, I mean, look, your theory is that the technology is more accessible, and my theory is the reason why it's more common now is it's just because it's another way for people to draw attention to themselves. It's a cry for attention. Because
yes, and it's also celebrity culture, like you said. I think at one point celebrity culture was also a lot of people were smoking in movies, and the number of smokers skyrocketed. And then governments got involved in, over the years, and now because it became a huge burden on the tax system, on the health system, rather, they've now discouraged it by taxing cigarette smokers. And it's clearly resulted in fewer and fewer smokers. And I don't know that it would be the same with tattoos. There's nothing that really, unless somehow we find out one day that you're more likely to get skin cancer because of tattoos, then it might play out the same way. But I don't think that that's the case.
Okay, Mike, hold on for a minute. I want to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about other, like cultural relativism, multiculturalism, and people's values towards money. Okay, so hang in there, okay, man?
Yeah.
Okay, we're back. Mike, you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Okay. Thanks for staying with us. So let me ask you first. There's no question that it's important to make money. Everyone needs to make a living. If you don't make money and support yourself and your family, nobody else will. No one's going to deny that or dispute that. But has it gone too far? And what I mean by that is, has money become the end-all be-all for too many people that that's all they care about? I can tell you that I know a fair amount of single guys, and a lot of them, not all, but a lot of them tell me that when they go out on dates or someone wants to set them up, it's all about the money. It's all about where they go for dinner and what the guy could provide for the woman. And look, it's not a fair generalization because it's not true of everybody, but is it more of an issue today than ever before? And of course there's varying degrees as to how much is enough and so forth, but what's your opinion on that?
Look, I think it's definitely an issue today. I think it's you have to keep in mind it's not only guys either. I mean, there's groups of girls that are going out just as frequently and together and hope that at the end of the night that they'll find a good-looking guy and that they'll go home with them and that they'll have fun also. I think that part of culture is definitely changing, and you can see
it on university. What do you mean? Are you saying that guys are after girls for their money also?
Sorry?
No, I was saying that a lot of girls go out with guys and it's based on, you know, they want the money. Are you saying
that
a lot of guys go after girls for their money?
I don't know that a lot of guys go after girls for their money. Sorry, I misunderstood you. I thought you were saying I don't think that's so much the case today, especially with the level of education that a lot of women are attaining, and professionally they're reaching almost full equality with men. So I don't really think that it's such an issue.
There's certain people that would beg to differ on that statement, but
yes,
that's another story.
I know. But I said nearing full equality, not there. But they're on their way. In many cases, they are there.
In my personal opinion, money is to women what looks are to guys. In other words, there's lots of guys out there that if you were interested in a bright, nice, personable girl who wasn't that attractive, they wouldn't be interested. And if you introduce a lot of women out there to like an attractive, a good guy with a good personality that's attractive that didn't have enough money, some women wouldn't be interested. So if you understand what I'm saying, money is to women what looks are to guys, because guys are more superficial and women want to be taken care of. Do you think that, it's not true across the board.
That's a reasonable statement. I definitely think that it's not only today. I think it's been the case for quite a while. I mean, generations ago.
But my question is, do you think, okay, that's a good, my question, I'm not saying that this is a new phenomenon, I'm saying, has it gotten worse?
I think with equality, that is becoming less the case. So as we move towards equality, that'll no longer be what the scenario is. I think that if you were to go back to, say, the 50s, that was 100% the case.
Do you really believe that?
You know, women were looking for a successful man in order to then take care of and basically raise the children and stay at home wife. There's no stay at home. There are stay at home dads. It's a new term.
I think that really back in the 50s, for example, what really happens is you went to high school and then you met a guy and you got married. I mean, like people got I imagine the average age of marriage in the 1950s is. I'd be shocked if it was higher than 25 years old. And today, like, it's got to be way higher than that. I don't see it the same way you do, but it doesn't mean I'm right and doesn't mean you're right. I'm not sure. But so this is one thing you don't think has gotten worse. You think it's always been there and it's no different than ever.
Yeah, I think with time it'll actually disappear.
As we
become more successful and basically reach full equality.
So does that mean that guys like you and I will be able to go after women for their money?
That might be the case. Yeah, look at that.
All right, that sounds like it could be an interesting option then. Okay, I hope you're right. All right, let's move on to cultural relativism or multiculturalism. Now, let me look up on the computer here what the exact definition of multiculturalism is before we start talking about it. Just give me a second as I type it in here. Obviously, there's varying. I don't think there's an exact rule or exact definition. It depends on your country or whatnot. But it says here that multiculturalism refers to the evolution of cultural diversity with a jurisdiction introduced by its selection policies and institutionalized by its settlement policies. As a descriptive term, multiculturalism refers to a selection policies that formed the demography of a specific place. Okay, so let me go to multiculturalism in Canada. Multiculturalism in Canada is the sense of equal celebration of racial, religious, and cultural backgrounds. multiculturalism policy was officially adopted by the Canadian government during the 70s and 80s. The Canadian federal government has been described as the instigator of multiculturalism as an ideology because of its public emphasis on the social importance of immigration. The 1960s Royal Commission on Bilingualism and Biculturalism is often referred to as the origins of modern political awareness of multiculturalism. Okay, so basically the way I interpret multiculturalism is that all cultures, well, it said here the equal celebration of racial, religious, and cultural backgrounds, but when I think of multiculturalism, I think of a society where it basically says that no culture is better than another, that we're all the same, and that every culture should be able to practice its beliefs, and we should all live in harmony. And to me, this is complete and utter nonsense, because if every culture was the same, how come no one wants to leave North America to go to sub-Saharan Africa or South Asia, but there's tons of people from those countries that want to come to North America? And I think that what's really happening is that once upon a time, before multiculturalism was a policy was adopted by governments and society, people integrated, and it was basically you came to whatever country, you came to your new country, this is the way it is, and you adapt. And today it's basically considered racism to expect the same. What are your thoughts, Mike?
Look, I definitely think that if you're moving somewhere, the idea of moving, in my understanding, is because you're looking for a better opportunity for you and perhaps your family. Now, if you do move, and that is the case, I definitely do not think that you should look to bring with you whatever elements or part of the culture from which you're moving with you, because you're looking for a new beginning and a fresh start. So the notion
that when you move from one country to another,
A, I don't think you should bring things with you from the past, and I definitely think if you're trying to make a new country your home, you should do your very best to fit in.
Okay, but let me ask you a question, okay? Because culture is defined by food and art and music and language and many other factors are what make up culture. So, I mean, are you saying that, like, when the Italians came in here, like food, for example, is something that all different people from all different backgrounds bring to new countries, and then they become part of the broader culture? You know, every city's got a Chinatown, just about every city's got like a Little Italy, or not every, but many, and depending on which city and where the immigration is coming from, there's other communities that have restaurants and cuisine of immigrant communities. Let's say art and other artifacts and things like that. So, I mean, where I'm going with this is my personal opinion is I don't think that it's a bad thing to open up restaurants with your types of cuisine, not just for the immigrant communities themselves, but for other people. I mean, there's a lot of different cuisines that we like. A lot of, you know, obviously Italian is very popular, and Chinese and Japanese foods are very popular.
And Irish popular.
Pardon me?
Irish pubs, British pubs, I mean, those are all communities
exactly.
That really built North America. Now, I wouldn't say somebody coming from Sri Lanka had much to do with the establishment of North America or the United States, for that matter.
But is it a bad thing if a guy from Sri Lanka comes here and opens up a Sri Lankan restaurant? Whether it'll do well or not is another story.
If they come here and they're looking
to go eat there,
develop and open up cultural centers, then we have a problem.
Okay, so basically, you don't have a problem with opening up a restaurant, but once you start opening up cultural centers, there's a problem.
Yes, 100%. I could not have said it better.
Why?
Because cultural centers are the places where a lot of these problems really brew, and they basically don't interact or, in fact, mix in with the local culture at all. Like, if you go to some parts of, say, even Toronto, there are some people that don't speak English. Or French, or any language that Canada even recognizes as an official language, being either it's French or English, but they can move here.
The
cultural center will essentially provide them with a means to live here while thinking they're in their country of origin.
Look,
and that's
I hear what you're saying, and I know some Italian people who have Italian relatives that didn't speak the language either, but if I hear what you're saying, I think what you're saying is my opinion is, and I think you agree with what I'm about to say, is that you know, if you bring certain aspects of your culture to the society to enhance it, that's not a bad thing. But when you don't, when you live in an isolated, let's call it a balkanized society, where everyone lives within their own communities by their own cultures and customs, and don't integrate into the broader society at large, that's when the problem happens.
Yes, and I think that to take it a step further, you have to establish, using establish here is a difficult word because I was going to say you have to identify the communities that have established themselves here since the beginning. I think there has to be a line that's drawn, because take a country like the United States or Canada, they're relatively new. Italians,
right.
At one point, you know, there were a bunch of, it's a country, yes. It's a country that actually unifies a lot of people that speak the same language. But at one point it became a country. At what point is Canada going to be recognized and the people are Canadian and their identity is Canadian and Americans are American? I don't know that we've got there yet, but I think we're on the brink. And
on the brink of,
part of that is establishing which communities are immigrant communities, and not to keep continue saying that we're an immigrant based country, because frankly every country at one point was an immigrant based country.
More or less. But look, I think one of the problems that we have is the quote unquote hyphenized American or Canadian, meaning I live in Canada, so I consider myself a Canadian. I don't consider myself like a Romanian Canadian, because that's where my grandfather was from. I'm a Canadian, right? I don't think that black people should be referred to as African Americans. Unless you're blind, it's very obvious where their ancestors came
definitely
from.
Definitely don't know very many, if even a single black person that considers that remotely politically correct anymore. And
what did you say?
Correct anymore to say African American, and I understand why. Like we're saying, they're not African. It's pretty simple.
No,
exactly. And that's the whole issue. Dropping the, you don't say you're a white American, I guess, or a white Canadian, or a black. Like, you're American or you're Canadian. I'm glad that we're getting to the point where we're able to say that.
Well, I think
you're
part
right.
Of the
hyphenated identities are really a problem.
But there's more to it than that. First of all, our society has changed so much because of the internet and mass communication and the ease of travel and satellites and so many other factors. It's much easier for people to live in their own ghettoized societies and not integrate. Also, the way societies evolve with social benefits and so on and so forth. Whereas back in the day, when someone came over on a boat from wherever they came from and they landed in the new country, they were gone. I mean, they had no contact with where they came from, and many of them never even went back or saw it. So they had no choice but to integrate and get out into society as a whole, because they had no access to their home cultures. And the other issue also, which people don't like to discuss, is that, you know, cultures are not the same. By its very definition, it's not the same. And the reason why North American culture is more attractive for people to come to is because of the values that established and set up the society, which allow people to be free and work and do whatever it is that they want to do or in the society. And other societies and other cultures are much more repressive, and there's less freedom. And that's why no one wants to move to those countries for a quality of life. And where I'm going with this is a little bit of a controversial subject. You know, historically, the immigration to North America was primarily European. And I always felt that it's a lot easier at the end of the day for an Irish, an Italian, or a Polish person to get along and see eye to eye than it would be for a Mexican and a Chinese and a Somali and a Sri Lankan, for example. Where I'm going with this is that the more different the cultures are, the harder it is to have a cohesive society. Now, I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. What are your thoughts on that?
I think it's pretty obvious that you're right. I mean, it's difficult to get people from different backgrounds that are very different to get along and have a similar vision than people that are of similar backgrounds. And that's, you know, people who are originally from Europe, other than the fact that they might speak a different language, have a common terrain, they have a common climate, they understand and probably have very similar practices, with the exception of maybe their dress and their language. And that makes it a lot easier, I think, to move somewhere and develop a common ground and work together, as opposed to somebody, say, from Sri Lanka and somebody from northern China moving to a new place. They're totally different. And I think that makes it a lot more difficult to develop that cohesiveness that you're talking about.
Well, the real problem is that our society, instead of insisting and passing policies to force as much as possible people to integrate into the broader culture, they're passing multiculturalistic policies, which basically encourage people not to integrate. And that's the problem. That's really, I don't care who you are, where you come from, adjust to society and don't live in a ghettoized society or expect society to adjust to you. I mean, the Prime Minister of Canada, Harper, recently came out and said that, you know, covering your face during a swearing-in ceremony essentially was unacceptable. It's not what Canadian values are. And
right.
A lot of people agree with it. And, of course, his competition on the other side of the aisle did not and went after him after it. And the truth is, if it's wrong to expect people to show their face and not want women to cover up, and especially after what women have gone through for so long, I find that personally offensive and an affront that women cover their faces. I don't care what their beliefs are. If that's what they believe, then I don't think they should be coming here. Stay where you came from. Anyhow, listen, I'm going to have to wrap up the show, but thanks for calling. And,
all right.
Thanks for listening to Sanity in an Insane World, and we'll catch you next time. And feel free to call back in again, Mike, and everyone who's listening out there, have a nice evening.
All right.
Ciao.
Good night.